Welcome to this month's special guest interview.
This month, I'm very pleased to have Russ Brown as my expert special guest. Russ Brown, CSNA, is a CrossFit coach and currently works as an encapsulation operator in the nutritional supplement field for natural factors. His passion for sport and physical activity led him to pursue a career in the health and fitness industry, where he has been active for over 15 years. Russ leads by example when it comes to training hard, eating well, and educating himself. Russ has a keen eye for detail and pays close attention to correct posturing, movement patterns, and exercise execution. This style provides an advantage for reading his clients well, helping them feel comfortable, and encouraging them to be better than they thought possible. Russ draws on his CSNA graduate education and Level 1 CrossFit certification to implement the most effective strategies for fat loss, strength building, and mobility. His past experience as a personal trainer includes volunteer work at the YMCA and working with a private gym providing one-on-one training with clients. Good morning, Russ. Welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update.
Good morning, Corey. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you on the line, and I expect to have a wonderful conversation. We are professionals in the field that we love, and we're good friends. Now, I know that people listening always like to know something about our guest and their connection to health and wellness, and especially sport and exercise. So tell us how your connection to sport and exercise began, going as far back as you can remember, and how it kind of led to where you are right now in your life.
Well, as growing up as a youngster in the interior of British Columbia, I spent pretty much all my youth outside exploring, and whether, you know, fishing or hiking or biking and swimming in the lakes and rivers. So I've always had a pretty active lifestyle. And then, of course, going through school and being involved in different sports. And I didn't really get into weight training until I had two older sisters, or have two older sisters. And when they started dating and some of their boyfriends started coming around, some of them were involved in weight training. That point where I got introduced to the weight training aspect of fitness. I used to do mostly just push-ups and sit-ups at home, and that was sort of my routine to begin with. But as I got in sort of in contact with these ones, and they were able to share some of their information and their knowledge about using weights. And then when I actually moved from the interior down to Victoria, and I was just finishing up my schooling there, that's when I began my journey into the actual weight room as far as having a membership at a local gym. And during that time, there's a lot more, I think, involvement with bodybuilding. And so a lot of the guys at the gym were very willing to share information. And so I was able to, you know, glean a lot of experience and information from these ones, too. I've never really been interested in bodybuilding per se, but I love body movement. Of course, like you do, the look of a good physique, it's always appealing, and it's a nice byproduct of the weight training or the physical activities. But during that time, I never really focused as much on diet. I started to clean my diet up, as far as getting rid of some of the fats and the sugars. But nutritionally, it didn't maybe have all the things that it could have had. You know, again, I had a lot of pasta in those days and a lot of white products, white refined products. I just kind of sort of made more of the fats and everything. Ate pretty good as far as lean meats. But when I was in Victoria, I remember one day I was walking along and I was a little bit thirsty, and I went through the mall and I experienced someone with a machine, which I didn't know at the time what it was. And I saw them putting carrots in the machine. And, of course, out at the bottom was carrot juice. And I'd asked the lady what she was doing. And, of course, she said she was making a carrot juice. And I thought she was just joking. But, no, she sincerely was making a carrot juice. I asked if I could have one. And sure enough, she served me up a fresh glass of carrot juice. And having that carrot juice and walking out of the mall and just enjoying my trip downtown, I experienced, I don't know, just something I'd never experienced before. And that was just a very more alert feeling and a very good energy feeling from that drink. And that led me to a restaurant, again, down in Victoria that serves more whole foods. They had a juice bar also. So that just turned me on to a more nutritional way of eating. And the experience of just feeling a lot different than I did when I used to eat, you know, more of those refined products. They used to taste good, but when I started eating the salad and the more nutritional-based whole foods, the feeling I would get was just so much different. I felt so much more energetic and so much more lean. Just in every aspect of my body, I could see it changing. And so it really hit me hard that I needed to pay attention to not only the training, but also the food. And of course, my training improved because of that too. And it just kind of one thing led to another as far as that, and just continuing to learn more about training, and pursuing, again, more knowledge at that time. Back then, there wasn't the internet around, so going through the different stores, the vitamin shop and the different stores that focused on nutritional supplements and things, they, of course, had different books and information available to increase my knowledge about proper nutrition, whole foods, nutritional supplements, and, of course, that just was able to help me increase my enjoyment, but also my performance, too, when it came to the training. And, you know, seeing the results, you know, was really very motivating. And also being able to learn firsthand, that it helped me to be able to share that with other ones that had questions about that also. So it was sort of just an ongoing thing right to this day. I just continued on that path and enjoy just physical movement of all types. And that's what's led me into basically the career that I have now.
Awesome. Now you're working as an encapsulation operator for Natural Factors. For those of our listeners maybe who aren't familiar with Natural Factors, tell us who they are and what you do as an encapsulation operator.
Because of getting into supplements in that time period, I had an interest in knowing a little more about the process and the processes involved. And Natural Factors was one of the companies I used to purchase some products from. And so I ended up being able to work with them and still do. I've been there for 6 years. And the machine I operate is the machine that processes and manufactures the soft gel products that people buy. This part of the company that I'm at, you know, we deal with all what we call the wet products. So the company also has an area where they do the powders and the pills and the tablets. We do soft gels and oils and pastes and creams. So this machine brings together basically what we call the medicine or the product and basically encapsulates it into a gel capsule. Again, that then we can then process and be able to put into packaging and sell to the public. There's a lot involved. It's a process that's actually kind of complicated. I didn't realize how complicated it was until, again, working with the machine, because there's just so many variables that are involved. It's a computer-run machine, but there is quite a bit of hands-on sort of attention that needs to be given to the machine as the products are being processed. So it's a combination of physical and, again, a lot of, you know, computer adjustments with temperatures and humidity and just various little adjustments on the machine so that consistency and the quality can be maintained from beginning to end and from product to product.
So the quality then has to do with what? How do we know the difference between one company who produces, say, a vitamin E capsule and the next? Are they produced exactly the same? Are there any standards that have to be followed? Is the industry policed? Is it regulated? How does all that work?
Yeah, well, we have what we call GMP, so good manufacturing processes, and there's other different guidelines that we have to follow, and they are regulated. And this is a good thing, as you and I have talked about, it's in Canada that our regulations, our standards are quite high, and we're leaders in a lot of ways when it comes to that. And so we can, again, be assured that when we're looking at a label, that we know that whatever is on that label is true. And that's one thing that's a sort of the part of the high maintenance part of my job, is that throughout my shift, that's an area that is given a lot of attention, and that is to make sure that we're within those guidelines or those ranges that need to fit that criteria so that that capsule, that product, meets those. And when it gets to the consumer, they can be assured that what they are buying is exactly what's on the label with the right amounts, the right potency. So there's a lot of processes involved, you know, through the lab, right from the raw ingredients coming into the plant and being tested and making sure they're clean, they're free of all the different, whether it's toxic heavy metals to any other type of issues that could be of a harm to a person. And then again, also just the potency there. So the whole reason why we're taking it is so that we can get that value there. And so these are all things that are tested. It's a rigorous testing. When it's all said and done, again, the product we know is true to what is on the label.
So is Natural Factors growing? Is there an increased number of people taking these supplements? Do you see what effect the economy has on dietary supplements? What's your basic feel just by being involved in the company?
We have a hard time keeping up because there's always new products. With the internet now, people are becoming a lot more educated. And so the combination, I guess, of the awareness, the education, and again, once they've learned a technology, like the technology of encapsulation, it has just opened up basically an infinite realm of options now to put things into that vehicle, as you could say, that people can use. And people are already, for the most part, are used to taking pills, whether it's an aspirin or a Tylenol or other pharmaceuticals. And so it's not a really foreign idea. But of course, we know that a lot of people have not been very successful or been happy with the result of those options. And so the natural choices or maybe a shift would be to get into more natural based or whole food or supplements that are able better to help heal the body and not just be a band-aid. But the field is growing at such a fast rate that it is very hard to keep up. And more countries around the world are using this technology and, of course, benefiting from that. It feels like it's just kind of starting in some ways.
Yeah, right on. It's very cool. Now, you're a CSNA graduate. Do you remember, because it's kind of fuzzy for me, although I can put you in Victoria. I believe that's where we first met. But do you remember when we first met? And then how did you get involved in the CSNA? What kind of motivated you to enroll in the program? And how has it helped you by being a CSNA graduate? How has that helped you in your personal life and career?
I'll have to thank actually a girlfriend I had at the time, because when one day when she was in the vitamin shop, one of the vitamin dealers in Victoria, she had noticed you there and was listening to some of your conversations and noticed that you had a very good educational background and a good way with people. And of course, you walked the talk, basically, as far as she knew. You looked like a very fit individual, and she right away felt that I would probably benefit and enjoy some interaction with you. So of course, when I went there and I basically witnessed this situation with you being there and all the things she had spoke about. And again, we had a nice conversation one-on-one with you. And again, it just kind of went from there. Whenever I mentioned to you that it was a very comfortable conversation. Of course, I appreciated your knowledge and the way that you were able to interact with me. It was very pleasant. And again, it just inspired me to want to know more. And of course, we've become friends for a long time now. And knowing how important that knowledge is, I know back then you were just working on the deep CSNA program at that time. So I definitely had my ears kind of had attention to that, and I was always interested in taking that course. And so, of course, when you were finished and it was available, it was just a natural thing to jump on board and help increase my knowledge, not just for myself, but because of the benefits that I had experienced in my life that, of course, you want to share them right away. It's not something, knowledge is not something you want to keep to yourself. The best thing about knowledge is to be able to share with people freely so they can, of course, see the results and get the benefits and continue to pass on to other people. So it was just kind of a natural progression, and appreciated that you did this course and produced it that helped myself and so many people in the process.
And now you're into CrossFit, and of course, you've always been into training since we connected and working out together, and you know the secret of steel, and you're aware of the principles, and you have a lot of knowledge, both nutrition and fitness. And so now you're moving into CrossFit, which is a pretty spectacular phenomenon in terms of success. So you not only train in the CrossFit boxes, I guess they're called, but you're also a coach. So this is maybe a good opportunity for someone like yourself to give us a bird's eye view, telescopic view. Like, what is CrossFit? How did it start? Who started it? And what is the function or purpose of CrossFit?
CrossFit is a fitness company and was founded by Greg Glassman in 2000. And basically, it's a strength and conditioning program, and with the aim of basically improving muscular strength, cardiorespiratory endurance, flexibility. It's basically they train people to not be a specialist. So they specialize in not being a specialist. So they want people to be very good at everything, but not be just really good at one thing only. The definition of CrossFit is constantly varied functional movements executed at high intensity. And so with that, then that overall benefit is crossing all those different areas of fitness that we all actually want, but don't want to be limited or have any weaknesses. And so this is the idea behind CrossFit, is to cover basically every area when it comes to overall fitness. And it can be scaled for anybody, so it isn't just for the elite. Even though the people at the top are extremely fit, the workouts are all scalable. So whether a person, whatever age they are, what kind of background they have, each workout can be tailored or scaled to that individual's needs. Another important part of CrossFit is the community aspect. And today, with all the electronics that we have, we know that a lot of times people are just kind of tuned out, whether on a bus or in a lot of the even traditional weight training sessions and other gyms. You know, people put on their Walkmans, they kind of tune out. Whereas this is to get people more involved as a community, even though there's a bit of competitive atmosphere there. We're really just competing against ourselves and keeping track of all of our records and the different workouts we've done and just working on improving ourselves. But we have that encouragement from the people in the class. So it is a class setting. And that, again, is a big part of it. It's become a community, a worldwide community. Some of the stats on this, like you mentioned earlier, we don't call them gyms. They're actually called boxes. there's affiliates all over the world. Most of them are in the U.S., but up to today, there's around 9,000 of these gyms or boxes that are around. But most of the individuals who work out to these, again, are just your average everyday person. You know, the elite people that we see in the games, again, those are sort of the rare people that are at the very top, but the style of training can be done by anybody. So basically, it includes some of the movements that people are used to, Olympic weightlifting and gymnastics. We do things when it comes to metabolic conditioning with rowing and running and sprinting. So we could use things that people are familiar with, but they're just done in a lot of variety so that the body doesn't get used to that just one type of training. So that muscle confusion sort of approach to things.
Now, you're a CrossFit coach, so you're working closely with people that are into CrossFit. They come to the box. How does it work in terms of, you know, like I'm a member of a gym here in Vernon, Fitness West. So you walk in and you pay a drop-in workout. You can buy a month or you can get involved in a six-month or annual, you know, standard conventional gym system. And when you walk into the gym, you get changed and you're on the floor. You're pretty much on your own. You're doing your own thing around other people or with other people that are doing their own thing. A lot of people doing a lot of different stuff. How does it work when I go to a box that's designated for CrossFit?
That's the nice thing about CrossFit is everything is pretty much done for you as far as the programming, and there's coaching involved too. The classes are generally an hour long. What happens is you typically do a type of a warm-up, and then there's some emphasis put on a skill development segment, which is working on technique. You know, it could be something in gymnastics. It could be some of the Olympic lifting. It could be some powerlifting. It could be anything where there's just attention given to technique. Then there'll be a high-intensity workout of the day, or what's commonly called the WOD. And then there's usually a period of type of stretching or what they call mobility work. The performance on each WOD is usually scored on a whiteboard. And then people are ranked and they're encouraged, just to compete with themselves and each other and to track the progress, again, so they can see where they need attention to maybe some weaknesses, but also just to encourage each other to keep pushing on. It says that it brings out that some affiliates offer additional classes. So we do have specialty classes. So I know for myself, we have an Olympic lifting coach here who offers Olympic lifting coaching in evenings. So there's things like that. There could be some specialty courses on gymnastics or on other areas, maybe kettlebell use. It keeps growing and growing in different areas that people can come in besides the classes themselves and just focus on specific movements or specific skills. And again, just a way to improve. So when they go back to the class, that can give them a little bit added experience.
So how much does it cost typically to be a member of one of these boxes?
It varies, but I'd say the average cost around here is anywhere from $150 to about $180 per month. That's usually with unlimited classes, so you can go as many times as you want. Yeah, it's open to anybody. And some of the gyms will require a series of fundamentals that people go through. Not all the boxes have this, but some of them require that you can go through a few sessions just to get a little more experience with some of the movements, because some of the movements may be unfamiliar to some people, and that way when they go into the classes, they're going to feel a little bit more comfortable just knowing some of those movements.
So I can see here, like, the failure rate in the gym model is very high, but it depends on this. I listened to Greg Glassman just pontificate on this issue. You know, he himself worked in a gym, 20,000 square feet, 20,000 members, on average 600 members come per month. And if all the members or even half of them came and showed up, it would destroy the whole system. It would just collapse under the weight of the people. Now, what is the compliance ratio like in CrossFit? I can see that's going to be higher because I'm going to come in. People are paying attention to me. They're talking to me. I'm part of a class. They're testing me. I see the results on the board. So I can see right away a big difference between that system. Myself, I like to be on my own, but obviously a lot of people probably need a lot of attention and they need to feel like they're part of something. You think that's why CrossFit's so successful?
Yeah, definitely. The community aspect, which is it's kind of missing in a lot of ways in life, this is bringing attention back to that. And I think people, it's just a natural thing that we all need. I remember reading an article in National Geographic years ago, and it was talking about some of the centenarians, the longest lived people on the planet. And they all had the same things in common, more or less, you know, like good diet, and they did some form of exercise, and they had enjoyable work to do. But a big part of it was a healthy social network, whether it was friends and family. So this is like one reason why Greg has got this as an important factor in his equation here. And it pushes each individual. So you're encouraged, it'll help you physically, in your fitness, but also, again, just that old school communication and friendship that goes along with this, one of the more important things in life, right? And also that's being fit if you're all by yourself. So it's always more enjoyable to do things with people. And again, we're social creatures, so it's an important aspect of life. And because of the advent of the technology we have, which is it's a great tool, but it has created a lot of people isolating themselves, you know, always being tuned in by themselves or in their room on the computer by themselves or on a bus listening to something themselves. So the interaction level has really diminished a lot in a lot of the developed countries. So this is a nice way to kind of get people to put those things down and interact with each other and get to know each other and then enjoy it in a fitness-based environment. We all want to be fit. We all want to be healthier. No one wants to be sick. So it's a great way to, again, to share information and ideas and encouragement with each other.
So when anything new and successful comes out, there's always someone around who wants to take it down, take a shot at it, condemn, criticize it. And of course, one of the strongest criticisms that I'm aware of is the supposed high degree of injury risk in CrossFit. An article recently compared CrossFit to mountain biking or snowboarding in terms of risk. So how do you respond to someone that says, well, I'm not going to do CrossFit because it's almost guaranteed that I'm going to get injured in a very short period of time? And obviously, look at the weights, look at the intensity, and some of those guys are hackers and they don't have ideal form. So it's obvious to me, standing by looking at that without actually doing it, that I'm not going to go into that because I don't want to get injured. How do you respond to that?
When I first heard of some of these sort of accusations, I was a little surprised myself. But of course, going online and seeing some of these videos, like the ones that you've mentioned there, that these situations are examples, yeah, for sure. There's, like anything in life, I mean, if it's done improperly with the poor technique, then there's going to be much higher incidence of injury. You know, life itself, unless you just sit on the floor and do nothing, there's going to be a chance of injury. So, as you know, I talked about with nutrition, it's all about damage control, so reducing the damage. So the attention needs to be focused on technique. And that's where, I mean, the responsibility of the coaches comes in, where they don't jump right to intensity as the foremost thing, but bring that in last. And CrossFit does advocate that. They want people to have the technique down and be able to do the movements properly before they start adding all that intensity in there. Yes, they want us to work out hard, but not at the expense of, you know, blowing shoulders out and knees out and all these different things. So going through the information that Glassman has put out, I think he's done a very good job of putting that out there, encouraging people to do it the right way. They're all about education. When you go to the main site or any of the journals they have, they've got quite a broad range of tools that you can use to educate yourself, whether it's videos. They're very much about teaching people how to do the movements properly. And as the movements become better, then you can keep increasing your intensity. And then it becomes a very fine line. You know, when you get into that really high level, of course, then it's a really fine line to the intensity and a chance of maybe injuring yourself. But that's, of course, the elite people, the top of the game. And if they're willing to push it that far and maybe injure themselves, maybe the game or something, it's another story. But for the average person, I don't see it as being a major factor in the decision to get involved with CrossFit. If the technique is there and the coaching is there, then they should be able to approach it, I would say, with no worries and just enjoy the movements.
Well, tell us about the CrossFit Games, because they're certainly popular, and I was watching Rich Froning, the champion, compete and perform. Very impressive and very entertaining, and it seems like there was a lot of people in the stadium also cheering them on, and so it seems like that's become very popular.
Yeah, the CrossFit Games is very exciting. And like you said, it's growing a lot. Every year it's growing. It's broken down, of course, into like a process of elimination. And it starts in the beginning of the year with what's called the Open. And this is what's done online. And basically over a five-week period, they have five different workouts. They're announced at a specific date, so no one knows what the workout's going to be. And anybody on the planet, as long as you've got a computer or access to a computer, you can register online and you can take part in this. And once it all goes on a leaderboard, and so as people register their scores, depending on where you achieve on that level, then you can go to what's called a regional event. So that's going to be in different areas of wherever you live. There's regional games, and then the top people from those will eventually end up at the games, which is in California, Los Angeles, California. And that's where the top people go. But to give an example, this year, I think the score was, 138,000 people who competed in these workouts over 5 weeks. So that's a lot of people involved in a workout event. And this seems to be growing every year. It is pretty exciting to see people at all levels, getting involved in this. And then, of course, like you mentioned, the stamp, that's what I find very interesting, too, is if you go to many games, other types of games out there, I mean, a lot of people may not participate in the sport, but they enjoy watching it. Whereas with CrossFit, there's a high percentage of most of those people in the stands, they're all CrossFitters. So there's that much more enthusiasm and that much more engagement and enjoyment out of it because they're all, again, on the same page. So it's, I think it's one part of why it's growing so fast is that it's, everybody's involved. Even though you're a spectator at the games, you know you're still a trainer at home, and so you can relate much more closely to what's going on. And it just, again, motivates the person to keep trying harder and cheering on whoever it is you're cheering on and just keep on working on those moves and improving.
Yeah, that's very cool. You know, in the Platonic and Aristotelian tradition, I'm a true gym rat. I know that you know that. It's like a church. It's like my second home. Maybe it's my first home. But I feel alive and comfortable and very much like the independence. Now, there's a lot of things I like about conventional gyms. You know, when I travel and I visit them and I throw the weights around and it's wonderful. But there's a lot of things I don't like about how gyms are currently being run. Too much focus on membership drive and not enough on customer service, which is, I think, what CrossFit is turning around. So what I can see here is a movement that is challenging the system from somebody that was inside the current system that says, hey, this system sucks. There's a lot of stuff wrong with it. And I think that CrossFit is going to challenge the whole industry and force it to change for the better. In Germany, I went to a gym and you couldn't be a member unless you took a weekend seminar that taught you how to train and also what etiquette is. You know, there's a lot of problems with etiquette in the current gym system. People don't replace their weights. You know, you see signs on the wall, replace your weights or we will kill you. And all kinds of punishment and pleading and the things that go on in the gyms. You know, Tracy and I used to own a gym. We know what goes on behind the scenes. So what's it like in a CrossFit box? What is the etiquette standard like? How do people manage themselves? Do you think it's different than what you've experienced in the public, you know, sort of privately owned gyms?
Yeah, I would say so from my experience, definitely. And like anything, though, people need to be educated. So sometimes, you know, a member may come in, and a lot of us have worked out in that environment you just described. Sometimes there's a little bit of, I sort of, you could say, updating, and just to remind people that this is a community gym now. And so, you know, we all participate in keeping it clean and to, you know, be mindful of each other. And CrossFit, again, I'm going to go back to CrossFit, is they are good at educating and trying to take in all these different factors that people bring up. Because it's community driven, and because of that factor, there's a lot of input from this community, which is growing every day. And so, like, I remember I mentioned to you a while ago, there was a funny video I saw, and it was entitled, Don't Be That Guy. And it brought up all these things you're mentioning. You know, someone maybe is just taking away from someone who they're in the middle of using it, and the etiquette's not there. And there's various other things, too, you know, to music, or it could be just doing something dangerously that could hurt someone else that's in the same area. So they were just encouraging, again, good etiquette and being mindful. But my experience, I've never even had anything like that happen when I've been in the boxes. People are aware. And they just want to, again, work together and have that safe and fun atmosphere. And, yeah, it's just a much different experience than your typical gym like you that you just described. It's been a good experience for me, and I really enjoy it. And as you mentioned earlier, it's so many more people getting involved than there's attention consistently being brought to the things we're talking about and everything else we haven't talked about. And so things will get addressed, and it will continue to evolve, you could say, and progress and get better because of that attention. People all want the same thing. You know, they all want to be healthier and fit and have that respect and dignity and, again, just enjoy life. And so that's what this is basically trying to promote, is not being fit with the expense of you know, someone getting hurt or all these other issues that you can see sometimes in other gyms. But, again, promoting just a long-term, basically it's almost like a career or a lifestyle that you can enjoy forever. I mean, people that even Rich Froning said, you know, he'll never stop doing CrossFit. He's, this is his last year to compete, but he'll never stop doing CrossFit. You know, it's just it's a community thing and something that can be sustained in his mind for forever.
Yes. Now, regarding natural factors and CrossFit, can you give us a couple of website addresses so that we can access those sites to gain more insight about the products and services?
Yeah, definitely. Naturalfactors.com you can go to. And of course, CrossFit.com is a great site to go to, and there's a lot of, so much information on there to access regarding CrossFit and any kind of courses. Again, it's continually growing. The information is just constantly being added to it, and so it's a wealth of information. And of course, CoreyHawley.com. Those are my two favorite sites, CrossFit.com and CoreyHawley.com. And so I definitely recommend people check those out.
Awesome, awesome. Yeah, thanks a lot, Russ. It's been wonderful chatting. You know, it took a while to get to this point where we actually can say now that we have an SNU, and we'll park this in amongst all of our other special guest interviews. Now we've got something on CrossFit, and of course, for me, it's important to dispense information from someone like yourself, who's living the life, who's in the thick of things, who has the insight from inside to us on the outside. Very, very powerful stuff. Our time is gone. So now, looking around you today, you're a mature man. You've lived your life. You love fitness and training, nutrition, and there's reasons why. But what about everyone else around you? You've got family members. You've got friends. And they're not well. They're not whole. Maybe they're struggling. You see a lot of cancer, heart disease, diabetes, depression, drug addiction, and you're wondering, what's going on? So you're a coach and you're devoted to what you're doing. Do you see yourself as someone or something that's too far beyond the common man? The way they look at you, they see you and I and they say, you're just too far beyond where I am. There's just no way that I could do what you do. And so what would your response to that be?
I would say, no way. I'd say, I'm just like you, just flesh and blood, just dust. And that anybody, if they put their mind to it, can achieve amazing things. It's just a mindset. You know, we have to work around. We all have different challenges. But our capabilities are so much higher than what we realize. And if once we put away those walls, those blockages, and just, you know, forge ahead and set goals and get educated, then our life will change. And we, too, can experience all the benefits and all the wonderful experiences that are out there to experience.
Russ Brown has been my special expert guest on this edition of SNU. He's a CSNA graduate, a CrossFit coach, and currently works as an encapsulation operator in the nutritional supplement field for Natural Factors. Russ, we thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, Corey.
We hope you've enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview on this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU is produced monthly and is distributed internationally by the Corey Hawley Institute. To learn how you can subscribe to this unique and motivational audio program, please visit CoreyHawley.com or call us toll-free in the U.S. and Canada at 1-866-433-1595. That's 1-866-433-1595. This is Scott Barrett, wishing you the very best of health and fitness for life.
Represent his lifestyle. New way of life. Listen. It's SNU. Sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight. Malik with Sports Nutrition Update. Prolong your life. Live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHawley.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see a change in heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.